Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back to the Lenten Rouge Cycling Podcast, presented by Zwift for Stage 17 of the Vuelta. It is a pretty simple stage, one categorized climb. It's Cat 2, but it's made up in two parts, 2.3k, 7%, a rest of, I don't know, a k or so, and then another 4k is at 7.5%. And yeah, just a sort of stage we thought yesterday after the Roglic crash, 100% going to the breakaway because this is a Roglic perfect finish, but after the crash, it'd be tricky for him. Oh, we didn't expect him at a pace. And unfortunately, before the race started, Roglic had to abandon the race due to the crash yesterday. A real shame because, I know, going back and watching the footage of his attack yesterday, it was really, really impressive. Like, attacking, he was in terrible position, attacking from there on a flat, a false flat, gapping the peloton, holding it for 3Ks. Super impressive. But he's out. So that meant big changes, Benji, in the GC. Henrik Maas, the model of consistency this Vuelta, moved into second, which is good news for Movistar and points. And Ayuso moved into third on 4:49. Now that opened up third, the big battle for that, because there's a huge gap to Maas from Remco of 2 minutes. But the gap from Ayuso on 4:50 to Rodriguez is 25 seconds, and to Lopez was 35 seconds. So that really opened things up. Where do you see Rodriguez's strengths against a Juan Ayuso or a Lopez strength against Ayuso, or their relative team strengths as it applies to this third week?
Well, with a third week like this, it becomes very difficult for the riders that are in there to move past an Ayuso, in my opinion, because an Ayuso on paper is a rider that is quite punchy in a final kick on a hill on a not so crazy climb when it comes to, like, we don't have a Sierra Nevada anymore, stuff like that. We have climbs that are shallow and are not 18 kilometers, for example. So on paper, an Ayuso should be able to follow on that terrain, and he has the kick that a Rodriguez does not have, that a Lopez has, but not crazy like an Ayuso has. Lopez has a kick, but not like that. I wouldn't rate it like that, like an Ayuso. So that's the benefit that an Ayuso has, and it fits on the last week of this Vuelta. So Ayuso being in the pole position of that third position of GC now is a good position to be in for him. Rodriguez, I'm a bit meh when it comes to him now in week three. I find it hard to believe that he's going to get that third spot unless they get something tactical going, as in UAE has shown so far in this Vuelta that Almeida has not been willing to work for an Ayuso, even with the gap that is currently in front of Almeida. Like, he's, I think, a minute 40 behind Lopez. Is he just trying to gain time on Arensman? Stuff like that. I don't know. Perhaps trying to secure his top seven or trying to hunt for that top five himself. But if I was UAE, I'd try to secure the Ayuso spot, that third spot more, and perhaps they would do that in week three. We'll see in today's stage, for example. But when it comes to Rodriguez and Lopez, Lopez needs the bigger climbs, and those aren't here in this third week. So,
and Steve,
it's difficult. Yeah, it's
like
difficult.
I think
for
he likes Camoneteru, which doesn't exist. 9%.
Yeah.
What is Rodriguez? He's lighter than Ayuso by 5 kilos, right? Like, he, I think he's that diesel, wants that 14K, 9% climb. Even Sierra Nevada, it's like 5%. That doesn't even suit him. And wasn't he? He was in the wind just suffering on that 4% section. Do you think, I will get into the recap in a minute, but I think the UAE team is way stronger than Ineos on paper in the actual medium mountains. Palance, yep. Soler, Almeida, Ayuso, that's really good, those four guys. But problem is then Soler goes in every break and they're not working for each other, whereas Ineos are all in on Rodriguez. That's the big advantage he has, that he has Van Baal, Turner, Gegenhardt, Plapp at his disposal fully. I think that is an advantage. I just wonder which stages UAE can get burnt on.
My issue with UAE is that I think that it genuinely looks, when you look at this Vuelta, it looks like Almeida in his Portuguese jersey, Ayuso in his white jersey, and then we've got Soler in the normal UAE jersey. I think they all think they're riding for a different team. I don't think at any point, except for perhaps that rolling attacks against Rodriguez moment on Sierra Nevada, outside of that, I haven't seen those three really work well together so far. I think Soler helped a tiny bit at Sierra Nevada as well for one of the riders.
No, I'm not he did.
Did he not?
I didn't see it on TV. I saw him looking back and dropping back, but I think by the time he did, it was way too late and he was stuffed. Okay. I don't know. It's a soft third week, but already we saw yesterday Roglic can make big changes. Lopez as well. He's got Lutsenko, Tejada, Pronsky, De La Cruz. It is a strong team.
On.
Nibali.
Yeah,
well, it's the same as UAE. They don't work for each other.
I haven't seen Pronsky in this entire race. I think once. Sorry,
nah, he's
once.
He's been there.
In the dark, in the darkness, somewhere at the back, somewhere. But Nibali, like I'm spoiling a small part of today's stage by saying this, but Nibali was at the front of like the GC group on the final climb. What's his role there? What is he doing there? He's not even getting Lopez to the front. I think he's just there to have fun.
Don't you think, compared to Contador's 2017 send-off, the Valverde and Nibali final Grand Tours have been the biggest disappointment from an entertainment perspective, particularly Valverde? Like, I know he's not in great shape, but he's still Valverde. He can still do something from a breakaway. There's been so many stages like this, nailed on break. We didn't even mention him yesterday because he's not even trying to get in the breakaways. It's like, and he was strong. Like, what's the point of, I don't know, La Ultima Bala going for like 15th on GC? It's just, I don't know, it's a shame to just go out with a whimper like this. But anyway, you might have heard yesterday, if you missed that pod, it was a banger. But we've mentioned the upcoming changes to Zwift, but Zwift have just announced a new smart trainer to the Zwift Hub on sale from the 3rd of October. You can pre-register if you're in the UK, Europe, or USA. Zwift are breaking down the barriers to indoor training by making this trainer cheaper and easier to set up than any other trainer on the market. If you compare it to other trainers of a similar spec with a cassette install, which you can choose a 212 speed and SRAM, Campagnolo, or Shimano. If you compare the spec, don't take my word for it. Go and see the independent review guys on YouTube. It's crazy, crazy price. And that's just breaking down the barriers. So they're rolling out on 3rd of October. To sign up for notifications for when Zwift Hub goes on sale or to find out more about Zwift and the new smart trainer, head to Zwift.com or to Zwift's YouTube channel. But anyway, that was a long discussion about a stage like this from Aracena to Monasterio de Tenturia. It's, as I said, a ramp like that, 4K, 7.5%, no Roglic. It's going to be breakaway. And a break we did see with Benji Nye's picks in it, which was good for the interest. Maida, and we're in there for Bahrain. Champoussin, who won a similar Stage 20 last year. Gesbert for Arkea. Soler and Benji's pick, and Pacher, my pick. I was worried he wouldn't get in the break, but he got in. Jungels, Craddock, Elissonde, Jesus Ferrado, who's already won a stage, Rigoberto Urán, and Alessandro De Marchi. So pretty strong breakaway. They got 6 minutes. Craddock has been really strong, Benji, but he just keeps picking the wrong stages.
it's difficult, you know. I think Craddock is the kind of rider that is not the best climber in this breakaway. But I think he's also low-key underrating himself, because I think he's good enough to be able to compete for a stage like this, even on the climbing aspect. But he seems to keep trying to like anticipate the climbing moves by going earlier. I swear on one of the stages he went on the second last climb, went to the top of that second last climb. Vine went to his wheel at the top of that climb, if I recall correctly, into the descent towards the final climb, Sierra Nevada, I think that was the stage. And then in today's stage, he also anticipated and he tried to get ahead of things by attacking the group that had formed. Because, like, there's also the aspect, is it clever to do that, knowing that there's multiple teams with multiple riders in the group that he's attacking? This is before the final climb. Let's say it's roughly with 17, 18 to 20 kilometers to go. And we see him attacking. One of the Arkea riders tries to follow him, I think Guglielmi, and that doesn't work out. Kratok gets that gap, but obviously, like, Fred Wright, he was in there, dropped for a tiny bit, and then came back to that group to try and chase down Kratok. And then becomes clear that he's at a disadvantage because there's multiple teams with multiple riders. So the question can be asked, is it really clever to do that?
I think he got unlucky that there weren't sort of multiple climbs to break it up and drop the other domestiques first. Maybe Wright was gone at that point. But yeah, he was super strong. Like, he did this on a harder stage. What was the stage? It's Sierra Nevada, wasn't it? He got ahead on Berke and Vinebridge to him. That's a steep climb. Got ahead before that. It's just he got unlucky with the teammates. In the end, he did get close. I just thought, I don't know, I was really surprised yesterday that no one tried to do a rouleur attack apart from Roglic. Or no one, I was surprised the break didn't win yesterday as well, frankly. I was surprised Wright and Kratok didn't try and go in it. I guess that's because they were going for Caden Groves. But in the GC group, pretty easy day, nothing much happening apart from Ayuso crashing, Benji.
Yeah, a bit unfortunate. It seemed like he ended up going to the medic afterwards, the medical car, but they seemed to solve whatever issue he had after that crash relatively easily. He came back to the peloton, and I don't know if there were proper consequences, but I guess the finish of today's stage for the GC group would show us if he was still fine or not. Now, when it comes to the GC group, they were clearly letting that breakaway go. The gap was like 7-8 minutes. There's no incentive for anybody to really chase down this group, so the battle came down to the breakaway to go for the stage win, and we just said it. Kratok gets a bit of an advantage before the climb starts. I think it actually goes up to at least 24, 25 seconds at a certain point in the initial parts of the climb, and we see that after Fred Wright tries to control that gap as much as possible. The next one to do so is, I think, Mader, his teammate, and I was thinking, okay, are they now taking control a bit too much, Bahrain? Because if Mader is taking control already at the foot, he's doing the work for the group, and the others on gradients like this are actually benefiting from his draft on this finish as well. And it took a bit before we saw other moves, and I think it was Arkea that decided to move with one of their riders. I think it wasn't Guglielmi, I think it was just Bear, who went from the left side of the road in the middle of the group and like sniped to the right side of the road and flew past everybody, at least attempted to do so. There was some reaction, I think Pacher tried to respond, but then was like, I'll wait, and went back sitting down again. And there was no imminent reaction. And I think it was just Bear that started closing it down to 10, 12 seconds towards Kratok. But Kratok kept up his tempo up there. He kept up that tempo. And it was then that we saw another group of two bridge. Sean Poussin, the man last year, he won stage 20 by flying past everybody. And he did a few of those moves today again, attempting to get a similar victory. He tried to bridge towards Gisbert with Uran, and that three-man group was there. But then it was time, eh? Then it was time for one of our two picks to come to life. And I'm afraid it was yours, right?
Well, it was incredible. It was like they listened to the pod yesterday. The Pacher and Soler, they were both, Pacher trusts his sprint, and Soler is just doing the way he's been riding slow, like steadily at the back. He teleported to the group. Yeah, Pacher countered. Uran marked it. Uran was incredibly strong today. I did think Pacher might have been able to get away. Soler then countered. And then they start finessing again. They eventually catch Kratok. I'm not sure when exactly. I was worried they were going to like just leave him at 10 seconds and never actually catch him. And then Champoussin with his trademark move, I am Clément Champoussin, goes past, and I was like, surely not again. I think it was Uran who closed him. Elisson's dangling just behind. And then it was Hirata, big counter, already won a stage. I thought, ooh, big gap, but Uran, he just maybe gone a little bit too early. Uran again closing him down. Pacher drops Soler, I think. But how much has it cost not being on the wheel? 600 meters to go. You see Herrada's face. You can visibly see like Herrada almost just give up the ghost and like can't pedal anymore. And Uran attacks with Pacher not quite in the wheel yet. I think the fact that it was a hugely curved finish helped Uran. There wasn't a perfect draft he was giving anybody. And Pacher in a big gear couldn't get back to him. I'd recommend go and watch the last 5Ks or 7Ks. It was actually a really exciting brake battle on this hill. Much better than that Giro stage where Bowman won. This was fantastic. Uran winning. Big win for him. His first Vuelta win. A bad Vuelta so far for EF. Redeems it. Moves into ninth on GC. Takes the 100 UCI points. Pacher second. Herrada third. Soler fourth on 15 seconds. Then Ellison, Champs, Sandemarki, Jungels, Gisbert, and Kranik. Maeda lost 2 minutes, so Maeda just not been the same this year. And in terms of GC, Uran moves from 12th to 9th on 9:33, now 22 seconds behind O'Connor. So great win for Uran, Benji, and it begs the question, like, he just, I don't know, he was way stronger. I swear he closed down twice as much as anybody else.
Yeah, he closed quite a bit, I'd say, and he was one of the active riders that not only closed but tried bridging groups as well to get away with Champoussin early. Then later on, he was the one that bridged to Herrada to get away with, to Craddock to get away with Herrada. I think that was the duo. So twice or at least two times on the climb, he was the one bridging with someone else, trying to get himself towards a friend to make sure he can compete for this victory. And it's not a rider that wins a lot. I'm pretty sure it's like his first Vuelta stage win. I think he won in the Tour de France in 2017 in a group sprint against Barguil. Yes, the one where it was a millimeter sprint. Oh, wow, memories. Anyway, sorry, I went off on a zone out there for a second. But going into ninth is exactly what we kind of anticipated EF to try, and we saw last week that two of their three options to do that fell out of the top 20, which was Carfi and Podden. So there was one man left. I think Uran already jumped towards, I think it was 12th indeed, and then he now jumped on to 9th. So like you mentioned, they need two breakaways to get into that top 10, and Uran used two breakaways, is now in the top 10, but the issue is, there's still breakaways to come. And is he now too close that he can't go in the breakaway, or do you think that he's still on 9 minutes 33, that's still safe to be allowed in the breakaway to secure his position? Because other people will try and do the same. Like, I don't know, a Mankey is now 11th in GC, is destined to try exactly the same in the coming days. Will this rider anticipate that, Uran, and will he say, let me go in the breakaway as well to make sure this doesn't happen to me, or do you think it's too close in GC, 9 minutes 30?
Well, O'Connor won't let him. AG2R won't, I'm pretty sure. DSM probably won't either. They're the two riders ahead of him on GC, so I think that's his problem, trying to get in the break. Hindley, 11:40, will O'Connor and AG2R. I wouldn't let him in the break, personally, taking back 3-4 minutes. So I think Uran is going to try and defend it and then hope there are splits on stage 20 that he gets on the right side of, and one of Almeida, Arensman, O'Connor, or perhaps more than one, get stuffed. And that's how I would play it. I would defend and then try and get into moves on stage 20. And I think one of those three could come a cropper. But in the GC group, kind of peculiar. Like, I don't think it was the hardest stage ever, although it finished a bit early. Movistar start pacing with Mühlberger, Oliveira before into the base, Ineos into the base for Rodriguez position. Like, what? Are Movistar going to try something with Mas now second on GC? They can't surely think that they're going to gap Evenepoel on this finish. But I guess if you don't know, if you don't try. Valverde paces really hard, suggesting decent condition. And then we see off camera, because the brake battle was still going, on the last climb, Mas attacks Remco. Remco's in the wheel, and then Mas stops. So I was like, I don't know. Well, I don't know what the point of it is. Like, you can say, if you don't try, you won't know. Agreed, whatever. But you do know when you start this stage, if you have an easy stage like this, Remco's not injured, you are not going to have big gaps. He's 140 back. So the prospect of you taking any time is very, very low. And the prospect of taking meaningful time is almost nil. The prospect of Valverde or Verona with an Oliveira in this break actually doing something, getting points or a stage win, more importantly, is higher than that. And I'm really surprised that they didn't try.
I think the key is striking the balance, because obviously you've got Mazen leadership, he wants support, and you got to be able to show you can have that support on the stage while also being able to hunt with someone in the breakaway. So I agree that on a stage like this, a Maz doesn't need the entire team with him, for example. Now, if it is a mountain stage, then I'd argue, like a proper mountain stage, then I'd argue perhaps they could be with him or could play a role as a satellite rider in the breakaway. Slash, if that satellite rider role fails, then they can also go for the stage if nothing comes out of it. But like on a stage like this, it's not 100% necessary to have everybody with Maz. And I agree that it's unlikely to get something out of the stage. I do think that it's good that they try stuff on this stage. So I think it's just a balance, trying to do stuff in the peloton while trying to do stuff in the breakaway and making sure that Maz doesn't lose confidence, because mentally he might be a person that might need his entire team as support mentally in the peloton to feel safe, which I don't know. I think
it's an illusion. It's been much debated, right? Because we, you know, obviously in the Tour de France, Jumbo Visma, despite being down a few riders,
yeah,
you look at the parkour and you're like, where can the teammates actually help you? And how can we make sure they get into position to actually help you? Because like, you don't need six riders on a flat stage to help you if you have a flat with 70Ks to go. You don't. Like, that's just, you're being irrational if you want six riders around you for this stage, in my view. But anyway, they tried. No criticism. That's not true. I did just criticize it. it is what it is. I just think, like, I'm surprised Favoletti's not gone to break. But the big surprise was João Almeida countering.
Yeah.
And no one reacted until everyone was looking at Evenepoel, and Evenepoel was like, why the fuck would I care? He's on 7 minutes. We're 3 minutes from the end, 4 minutes from the end. And I'm just going to do like a nothing pace. Whatever. And suddenly Lopez was like, oh, I'm losing time on my fifth position. Ayuso just sat in, and then he attacked Mas and Remco marked him. Well, actually, Remco marked him. I don't really know why. I guess because he's on 4 minutes. You know, why give him any time if you have good legs? And when Ayuso saw Mas was there, he stopped. So, yeah, I guess Almeida took a bit of time, 10 seconds. He had the good legs, I guess.
I think on a finish like this, this is what we mentioned also at the start of the podcast, where Ayuso can actually do something on a finish like this. It's a climb that is not long enough to make him have trouble against the likes of a Maz on a bigger climb. That would be the case. We saw that on Sierra Nevada, but on this finish, it shouldn't. The gradients aren't insane either, so it's just an averagely shallow climb. So Ayuso could help get help from the likes of an Almeida here. And the question then is, Almeida's move could be useful if, let's say, Almeida goes up the road, Ayuso bridges, and then Almeida keeps pacing for him on the shallow gradients of this climb towards the end. That's an option. But there's also the issue that if Ayuso can't bridge, Almeida keeps pacing, Almeida's not going to gain that much out of this. So I agree in that aspect. Then it wasn't their plan, from what I could see at least, to have Ayuso bridge to Almeida and have that happen. Ayuso did try to attack while Almeida was up front, and that's when I'd argue he made a mistake, because I think that Ayuso attacked the group that he was in with Remco, with Maz, with Lopez, with Rodriguez that came back after dropping for a bit, and he had made a split in that group while Almeida was at the front. He made a split in the group he was in where he had himself, Maz, and Evenepoel as three, and there was like a 10-meter gap on the likes of Lopez and Rodriguez, who were in trouble. At that moment, Ayuso shouldn't say, oh, Almeida's up there, I shouldn't ride behind him. He should say, I should keep riding, because the two guys we just dropped are the two guys that are 10 and 20 seconds behind me in GC, or 20 and 30 seconds behind me in GC. I can gain more time and secure that podium. And I think that's a mistake Ayuso made today.
I think he was attacking Mass. I think he thinks he's way better than Rodriguez. I reckon he was attacking Mass. I sort of, yeah, like the gap on Mass is 2 minutes 50. That's going to be difficult. That's going to be difficult to make up. The gap to Rodriguez is 20. I can't do maths. 30 seconds after today's stage. 30 seconds. So, yeah, maybe he was worried about giving Mass more time. When I think about it now, when I think of the La Molina finish, I really think Ayuso could have won today's stage, or UAE could have from the GC group. They really could have. If you have... they don't have maybe the team to control the break, so that's the problem. But if you have Soler hard pace this climb with Polance, and then have Almeida pace for Ayuso or a set up an attack, like with Ayuso following moves, they really could have won this stage, I think. But they went with Soler on the break. Not a bad option either, I guess.
I think it's also not solely that aspect, not solely that I can win the stage, because controlling a break like this wouldn't have been easy in the first place. But I think setting something up for their GC rider would have worked in this case. And this is where we kind of counter what we said with Movistar. Amas can't, in my opinion, gain much time on the people that he's around in GC or gain much advantage on a stage like this against an Evenepoel. But an Ayuso can actually gain stuff against the Lopez and the Rodriguez if he's set up to do something at this finish. So even regardless of the breakaway, let's say that they actually set something up with UAE in the peloton and they prep something, prep an attack of Ayuso, then he can actually do damage. And I think they could have done that and they would have gotten more seconds on the people behind him in GC, secured that third podium spot so we can try focusing on crazier stuff to get a second spot perhaps in the future.
And we'll get to that in a second. I do want to make a note of Arensman got dropped quite badly. He lost 40 seconds on this finish, which is a lot, actually. So Almeida gaining quite a bit of time on him. And O'Connor now closer to... O'Connor got dropped too, but yeah, that was all good for Rigoberto Urán. So we'll see how that plays out in the rest of the week. Is Arensman, what his shape is like. And also Thibaut Pinot was finishing with Hindley just behind Ayuso, Mas and Evenepoel, who were 2 seconds ahead of them. So that must be the most frustrating thing ever. Like, if you're an FDJ fan, Pino's 44 minutes in GC. He can't make a break to save his life in the Vuelta. And he's got the legs to finish on this climb with the top five GC guys. Top five, not top 10. He's dropping top 10 GC guys. You must just be like, what are you doing? Like, I guess Pache got on the break, so they came second on the stage. But he did a sort of similar thing in Swiss, maybe, or he won a stage there. No, I don't know. Was it Dauphiné? There was some stage where he was just like testing his legs. He was testing his legs, and poor old Stefan Kung, who was up there on GC, had been dropped, and he didn't wait for Kung. He must have been Swiss, yeah. And we were like, what are you doing? Yeah, this is why, and we had the discussion about Thibaut Pinot is a stronger rider than Leonard Kemna, peak shape, 20-minute climb, 8%. Pinot is stronger, but Kemna is a better breakaway rider because you can get in the goddamn break. And that's just a skill. Like, for example, Lopez, I don't know, can he get in a break? Can some guys can't. Anyway, tomorrow's stage, Benji, might be the one. I reckon this could be more interesting than we think. Trujillo to Alto del Piornal, it is 13.6Ks, 5%. And then the final, that's the second last climb. And then the final one's 13.3 at 5.6%. There is some short little climbs. The Alto della Desespera, I was about to say the climb of despair, it's 4.3Ks, 6%, then descent. And then that little climb is 1,500 meters, 10.3%. That's quite steep. The base of it, the first kilometer, is about 12%. And then there's a descent between the last two climbs. I don't know. This is where, if I'm UAE, you have to, Soler in the break, try with the two leaders after Polance paces on Piornal with Almeida. I would try. I mean, or should you? Because you're never going to, I don't know. If you attack with Almeida there, Benji, who marks him?
No one immediately, because Arensman was about the one behind him and wants to follow him perhaps, but he's not good enough to do that at this point, it seems, based on today's stage. So the people ahead of him are the ones that we need to start looking at, and the ones ahead of him are actually notably ahead of him, a minute 20 being Lopez and a minute 30 being Rodriguez. And it would be more ideal if an Almeida can perhaps, let's say an Almeida can perhaps gain a 30 seconds or 20 seconds doing exactly the same he did today somehow on tomorrow's stage. Then he's close enough to actually threaten Lopez and Rodriguez and trigger them to respond to him in the future, which might benefit Ayuso. But I don't believe that the OAE is playing 4D chess in that effect, because that would be next level when it comes to planning the future of this third week. But,
and he'll lose so much on the descent, I just realized. He'll give 30 seconds back on that descent.
It has been terrible, though. This Vuelta, I'd argue his descending has been better, and it's also not the steepest descent. Has it?
Terrible. Mate, he started Sierra Nevada, Hazelanus climb in Portugal. He started Les Prairies still in the Netherlands. Like, you don't see it because there's no camera there, but it must be the case that in these quick technical descent run-ins to these climbs, he's starting to climb 30 seconds behind. He's doing, on Sierra Nevada, him and Ayuso did the same watts per kilo as Roglic or Evenepoel. Like, I know, so eventually beat Evenepoel and finished. They're just starting in terrible positions. So I'm not convinced his descending is fantastic, particularly if people are chasing. I know, like Maas, it's 5.6%. What can you do on that? I don't know. I'm struggling to think of what would happen on this stage because Rodriguez, it doesn't suit him at all, and they don't have two leaders to play anymore. I would have thought this is where Sivakov and Rodriguez, who is a good descender, they could have done something, but Sivakov is out. So what do you think, break or GC?
I think break, and the reason is simple. I don't think any team is willing to control, same stuff as today. And I also think that GC-wise, if they want to set something up, these gradients on the Piornal climbs are still like shallow gradients to the point where it's not really the kind of climb where I see someone attacking on the second last climb GC-wise. I don't know. I just don't see it. Like a Maas won't make that move, for example. A Lopez won't make that move in the position that he's in because he wants to get seconds on Ayuso and not minutes on Ayuso right now. So he doesn't want to risk that either, going early to try and lose any competition for that. For that third spot, for example, from Lopez's perspective. But breakaway, I'm leaning towards a third time Carapaz. And the reason is that I didn't see him today. I think that, let's take a look. He lost 8 minutes 25 today, together with Gegenhardt, who's completely disappeared off the planet of the Earth in this Vuelta. But he's also not like finished on like 25 minutes, so not really an indication there 100% that he will go in the breakaway. Vine lost 20 minutes today, so that's maybe an indication that we can expect Jay Vine in the breakaway. So that's probably your pick sorted already, but I'm going to go for Carapaz.
I'm going with Luis Leon Sanchez. Oh! I think the gradients are perfect for him. You saw him on Pandera. He's in good shape, but on Pandera, he got wrecked on the 11%, 15% sections. We don't have that here. Remember the Megève stage? That was Fred Wright and Luis Leon Sanchez. That was a 20K 5% climb in the Tour de France, and they were very strong. Nick Schultz got robbed. Rest in peace. should have won that stage. Magnus Kort stole it from him. And so I'm going with Luis Leon Sanchez. Yeah. Landers on 40 minutes on GC. He was, again, like Pino, like lingering in some GC last 10 groups randomly in the last week. And I'm like, you want to get in the break, buddy? So I think Soler, Maeder again, Fred Wright, Luis Leon Sanchez, Pino, Lutsenko. It's a nice gradient for him. What? That's not a bad shout. Did he get ahead on one mountainous stage? The reason why, like,
second, Prades.
Okay.
Or so. Preferred.
I look for 70 kilo, 68 to 73 kilo guys for this sort of finish. A Louis Menkes and a Kenny Elissonde are in a huge disadvantage on these gradients. Even the gradients today, Elissonde, like he did well, he's in good shape, but just it's not steep enough. Looking through Padun, maybe Craddock will try again. I would like to see Chris Harper try and get in the breakaway as well for Jumbo-Visma. I think he can win the stage from the break too. But I'm going with Luis Leon. Sorry, who'd you go with, Benji?
I forgot. I think it was Carapaz.
Yeah, you went with Carapaz.
Should I stick with Carapaz? I think I need to because I named them already. So
yeah,
let's go with Carapaz. Why not?
And from GC, again, it's a shame Roglic is out because Roglic is the one man who could have done something on this stage with half a pacing. Otherwise, Evenepoel, I'm expecting to just be too good. So breakaway on Puigcernal tomorrow, most likely. Let us know. Oh, sorry. And a small correction from yesterday. We said that the Vuelta hadn't clearly said that stage 16 was a 3 kilometer rule stage. They actually had, but the way they say it is they put in the rules that they said the stages where it didn't apply, which was in a section above it, and I just missed it. So it was a 3 kilometer rule stage and always was. Would I argue that it's a, it should have been? Absolutely not. I've got that piece of what I said, I still stand by. Absolutely shouldn't be a 3 kilometer rule stage. And we can debate whether a 3 kilometer rule even should exist perhaps in the off season. But yeah, just a correction on that. And a lot of eagle-eared listeners, do eagles have good ears hearing?
No clue.
Yeah, they got good eyesight. But yeah, thanks for everyone for the correction. But that's all from us today. Hope you enjoyed it. Go check out Zwift.com for the new Zwift Hub that's dropped, and we'll see you with a recap of stage 18 tomorrow. Ciao.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.